Thank you for joining me, Bertie Brits, in today's broadcast of The Love Way. What a privilege to come to you and just share the message of God's grace with you. This is the fourth session in our series on the grace of God, the divine influence upon the heart. The grace of God is God's influence into the lives of human beings. If we can know that God influences us by what He's done in Jesus Christ to be like Him, we will put so much more focus on what He has done for us. So many times we think that the gospel is about what we must do for God to influence God. Now, the gospel is not about us being gracious towards God. The gospel is all about God being gracious towards us. If we understand what the word grace means, that will just make so much sense to us. Now, let us just read quickly the definition of grace again. It says, it is graciousness as gratifying, a manner or of act, abstract or concrete, literal, figurative, or spiritual. And this is to me the main part of it. It is especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life that includes gratitude. So grace is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life that includes gratitude. So, grace, if God is gracious towards us, He's going to do certain things. He's going to be involved in certain things in our lives through Jesus Christ, so that He can influence our belief system to the point that out of our belief system, the power of God can flow. If we as believers and as people can start to realize that we live out of our hearts. What we believe is directly related to what we experience. Our experience of something can be good or bad, determined on what we believe about it. You can find two people. I remember when I was in the South African Defence Force. The one guy would be so negative about what's happening, and the other one will be positive. Because of what he believes about that situation. It's all based on his belief system. So, God came to do certain things so that we could believe in a certain way. So that the escape of power could be released in us. So, God wants you to believe His finished work. He wants you to know what Jesus Christ has done. Because that will divinely influence your life. So the gospel is a gospel of grace. Grace came by Jesus Christ, but the law came through Moses. So whatever was given to Moses was the law, including the Ten Commandments, and then grace came by Jesus Christ, the way God influences man. Now under the law, and if you've got a law mentality, you will be thinking that I must live right to influence God to a certain way that He might think certain things about me so that He can find a divine influence in His heart and the acting out in His life so that I can be blessed. And then He'll have gratitude towards all the things I've done right. Now, we are not gracious towards God with that definition of grace. Grace is directed from God towards man, and it's the only way grace will really flow. Now, if we go and read in 2 Peter, we see in verse 2, and we spoke about this in the previous three sessions, that says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. So God wants grace to be multiplied unto us. Now, if grace must be multiplied unto us, there's certain other things that must be multiplied. Grace is the influence in our life. Grace is the fruit of something that happens to you because of a word that is preached. Let me give you a good example. If somebody comes to you and he tells you, a doctor comes to you, he says, sir, I've got bad news for you. You've got cancer and it's terminal. That word influences your heart. It's got a supernatural influence. It's just mere words. But all of a sudden, it influences what you believe about your life. How does it change what you believe about your life? All of a sudden, all your plans change. What you've planned for 10 years from now or 15 years from now is not in consideration anymore because you think you're not going to live. So it changes your whole belief system. And out of what you then believe about your life and the future, deeds and actions flow as well as emotions. So you will all of a sudden, when somebody says that, and I'm talking about just a normal person, not walking by faith, just normal life. If he hears that, fear grips his heart. Why? Because he believes he's going to die. Because he believes he's not going to be there for his wife anymore. He's not going to see his children becoming older. He's not going to see those things. He's going to die. It's the end of his life. It might be painful. It might be so bad. And that word that comes from the doctor, based on certain facts, influences you. In the same way, it works with grace. Grace is a word-based influence. It's an influence that comes to your heart based on what God says about you. Grace is that supernatural thing that happens to you when you hear, I am forgiven forevermore. It's supposed to do something to you. When you hear, Jesus Christ obeyed on my behalf, therefore I am always 100% obedient in the sight of God. It's supposed to do something for you. When you hear that he influenced man, he became a man, lived on behalf of man, died on behalf of man, was resurrected on behalf of man, it influences you. Now, if grace must be multiplied, that word must be multiplied. In order for grace to increase in your life, the word of the finished work of Jesus must equally increase in your life. Now, I've seen it so many times when people get born again, they hear the word that brings grace. They hear a word that says, doesn't matter how big your problem is, God is bigger than your problem. Doesn't matter what sin you have, God has brought forgiveness unto you. By His blood you will be washed clean and you can be forgiven. You hear a word that says, God will never reject anybody, but whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. And out of that, it influences you with joy. It influences your life. So that faith can come forth. One of the things of grace is faith. I mean, it's a divine influence in your heart so that you can believe. So you hear that word. You start to believe. You act on your faith and you receive salvation. Amen. But now after we get saved, we are so happy about the grace we have received. And now we see certain areas in our life where we want more victory or where we want to rule. Like, for instance, in our marriage, in our relationship with people, in our relationship with our parents, in our relationship at work, finances, peace between you and God, all those type of things. Places where you think, man, I want victory. What we do then is we don't apply the word that says Jesus Christ obeyed on my behalf in that area as well, and that's why we don't find the divine influence upon our hearts, and that's why we are not set free from that problem as quickly as what we were set free the day we got born again, or when we got saved. Now, the same power that saved you by grace, through grace we've been saved. That's it, by grace. Through the influence of God, salvation has come towards me because it produced faith in my heart. And through that faith, this thing manifested. So, by grace you've been saved. Through the grace of God, you experienced that new life like this. Now, when it comes to bad temper, all of a sudden, you say, well, I must work on this. You never worked on getting saved. You heard a word, that word influenced you, the word that you were hearing was the word of what God has done in Jesus Christ. You were hearing about the cross. You heard, He died for you upon the cross. Now when it comes to something else, now you want to work on it to change it. That is not grace, it's called the law. If you find any area in your life where you're not walking in victory, you must come to the throne of grace. So that you can receive help and receive mercy and receive the word of God. And as you receive the word of God, you know what's going to happen? You'll find a divine influence upon your heart. You'll find faith coming forth. Out of that faith, you'll speak. The power of God will flow from your mouth, out of your heart. The escape of power. Power will come forth. And you will find God's grace driving your life. And the true definition of grace, grace being the divine influence upon your heart, and the acting out in your life including gratitude, will be seen in your life. Now let's read that quickly in Romans chapter 5. Now I know in my series on the fulfillment of the law, we've really touched on this in depth, but I want to look at this in the perspective of grace. We must know that grace, the Spirit, New Covenant, or New Testament, all those things are synonym of each other. I mean, if you speak of grace, you speak of the Spirit, dispensation of the Spirit, the age of the Holy Spirit, which will be forever. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. It says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace, through righteousness, unto eternal life, by Jesus Christ our Lord." Verse 21 again. "That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." So what he's saying is talking about Adam. It says through the grace that Adam had upon man, all became sinners. That's what it's actually saying, speaking of grace. It says there, "For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." So when Adam disobeyed, he influenced your life through his disobedience. That's the word grace, a divine influence. So what happened when Adam disobeyed? He influenced the lives of all human beings that there is on this planet. He influenced it negatively through his disobedience. When he disobeyed, death entered. Sin came in. Everything that's negative came in because of his disobedience. And because of his that was the direct implication. And then even indirectly, it's influencing what you believe about about God and about yourself and what happens in your life because of one man's disobedience. And the more we focus on what he's done wrong and the effect that he has upon us, the more we stand under the influence or the grace of Adam on man. Now, I know I am, it's not really correct to speak of the grace of Adam, but in the context of the definition of grace, being a divine influence in our hearts. And when Adam sinned, he divinely influenced all of our belief systems, he divinely influenced all of our bodies, our flesh became sinful. In our flesh, there's nothing good, Paul said. In my flesh is sin, and that sin is activated through a law mentality and all of those things. So what happens? Adam had a negative grace towards man through his disobedience. Then it says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." Now, I've heard it being preached, and I would just like to touch on this. That law that entered does not speak of the ceremonial laws. Because I've heard it being preached that because there was an offense, it was the offense that came through not obeying the Ten Commandments. Now the context here is not Moses. The context is the disobedience of Adam. And Adam disobeyed and then the commandment was added, or the law was added, that the offense might abound. The law was added to the disobedience of Adam. Now Adam disobeyed long before the Ten Commandments was given. The disobedience of Adam was a disobedience towards the message of grace. The message of, I live by who God is and I don't live by what I do. So, when Adam disobeyed the law of life, if you can put it like that, or the law of grace, the Ten Commandments were added. Now, that Ten Commandments, it's called the ministration of death. Never be deceived by thinking that the Ten Commandments is the law of God, and in the ceremonial laws were the laws that was fulfilled. The Ten Commandments were fulfilled, plus the ceremonial laws were all fulfilled when Jesus Christ became the sacrifice, and all of those things basically speak of Jesus. So, the law, the Ten Commandments was added, plus all those ceremonial laws, all those things was added. Why? So that sin may abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now let me put it this way. the negative grace that Adam had was of much lesser power than the grace of Jesus Christ. So, when we are under a rule or a regulation, a law that says, by what you do, you must become. And we say, I am not righteous, I must do something in order to be righteous. The flesh is activated. Sin comes forth out of that. Paul said, I wouldn't have known lust except the law said, you shall not desire. So through that, it came. So God wants us to walk by grace. Now, the influence that law has got a certain power on us. But what he says here is, he says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin has reigned unto death. In other words, sin has reigned to bring forth death in your life. In the same way, even so, with even a greater power, God's divine influence will reign through you being made righteous by the righteousness of God unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So what does this mean? I don't want to make it complicated. If you've got a problem in your life, I tell you, about 100% of the time, that problem will be because you reject grace and you are under the law. And I'm talking about myself as well. Every problem I have is I just say, Lord, the reason why I don't walk in the fullness of who you are in this area of my life is because I don't understand grace. That's it. It's because in that area. So what must we do? We must know that the influence of grace is a million times bigger than the influence of sin. The power of grace is much bigger than the power that sin has upon you. Let me put it in an easier way. The feeling to go and sin is much smaller than the feeling to go and live holy and forgive and love because of God's grace being so much bigger. So it would be easier when you are under the message of grace to live a holy life than what it would be to live in sin when you are under the law and not even knowing God. That's what he says. Now let's read it again. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, in the context of 2 Peter 1, it says, I pray that grace and peace might be multiplied unto you. Here it says that grace abounds. It is more. It is much more greater. It's more powerful than where sin abounded. So when sin abounds, when sin becomes more, grace is even much more. God's divine influence is even much more. Why? Because it says here that through the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. So the obedience of Jesus was much greater than the disobedience of Adam. The effect of the obedience of Jesus on your behalf is much greater than the effect of the disobedience of Adam, which was on your behalf. Now let's read it again. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Verse 21. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What does the Bible say? And it's so clear. It says that grace reigns through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Grace reigns through the obedience of Jesus. So if you want to get into grace, if you want to be under the influence of God in the same way as what you were under the influence of death through the law, in the very same way, what's going to happen? You will be influenced by knowing what God has done for you. You will be influenced by that absolute blessedness that came through the obedience of Jesus. So the more you know the obedience of Jesus Christ, the more you can relate with a word that says, by His obedience, by what He's done on my behalf, by His love towards me, because of Him being righteous, I am righteous. The more you hear that word, the more your heart will be influenced. The more you'll find the emotions of love, the emotion of forgiveness, the emotions and the fruit of the Spirit coming to your life. Now let's quickly go to Galatians chapter 5, and we're just going to look at what the Word of God says when we are under grace. Galatians 5, verse 22. Now, it speaks of being under the law and being under the Spirit. And remember what I said. When you speak of the Spirit, you speak of the Spirit of grace. You speak of God. You speak of the good things that God has done for you. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So what he says here, he says when we are in the Spirit, we have crucified with Christ our flesh. So when we are in the Spirit, what will happen? It says that love will come forth. So many times you say, we don't walk by our feelings. Now let me tell you, then you will not love somebody if you are under grace. If you're under the law, you should not walk by your feeling, because your feeling is, oh, I'm not going to make it. Oh, God's not good enough for me. But when you're under grace, you better walk by your feeling. Because what you'll feel is you'll feel love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such is no law. Hallelujah. So what does it say? It says so clearly that when we are under grace, the influence of grace in our lives would be to love, to have joy. So if you don't have joy, the only reason why you don't have joy is because you are not hearing the word of what God did through Jesus on your behalf. You're not hearing the word that says, by the obedience of one man, you have been made righteous. By the obedience of him, I am influenced just as much as what I was influenced under the disobedience of Adam. Imagine the power of the disobedience of Adam. His disobedience was so powerful that it affected the whole world. Now, where sin abounded, the law was given so that that thing that Adam did might even become worse. Then Jesus said, by grace, he said it through his scriptures, his grace was even greater than, his goodness was greater than how bad the sin of Adam was, even when there was iniquity or sin even added to that. The law was added so that the sin might abound. So even when sin abounded, God's obedience was much greater than that. So I just believe, if we can think of the influence that Adam had on the lives of people, how much more Jesus? But now I want to read a scripture in Romans 5 verses 1 that's just going to bless you. It says, yeah, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the confident expectation of the glory of God. So how do we get access into the grace of God? Through faith. How do we get faith? By listening to the unconditional mercy, grace and kindness of God. Man, God is so good. He loves you. He cares for you. Now, if you've been listening to this broadcast and it's blessed you, I'd love to hear from you. There's a number on your screen. Send your praise report unto this to this number, and it will be good for me to hear what God has done in your life. You know, it's good for us to see that this ministry is touching the lives of thousands of people all over the world. Every SMS that you send is such an encouragement to me and my wife and our team that just do everything to get this on the air. It's such an encouragement because we know people are touched. Even if you just send something, pray for me, we know somebody's been touched. So I want to encourage you. I know millions of people are being touched by this. But just send something that we can hear what God's doing in your life, that we can pray for you. If you need prayer, man, I would love to pray for you. I know God will bring healing to you. We've had so many testimonies of people being healed by just sending an SMS. And we pray for them. We pray over every SMS the very same day that it's sent. If you listening to a broadcast that's broadcasted on Monday night at 8 o'clock, you'll be prayed for right there when you send it. Because, man, we are waiting for those things to pray for people. God wants to touch you. He wants to bring forth that change in your life. He wants you to have grace multiplied to you. The only way grace will be multiplied to you is by multiplying what you hear about how Jesus obeyed on your behalf. Hallelujah. Man, isn't that gracious? Isn't that full of grace? God's influence. Now, if you've got sickness in your body, I would love to pray for you. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 that grace There was great signs and great wonders because there was great grace. So if you want great grace, take some time, listen to the scriptures concerning healing, and you'll find a divine influence upon your heart. You'll find a change coming to your life because of that. Now we're going to pray together. What you can do is just take your hand, put it where your sickness is. I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. You're going to receive your healing right now, and you're going to just send that praise report to the number on your screen. I know God's going to touch you in Jesus' name. I just see that there's somebody that's really struggling with their stomach, something in their stomach. I don't know if it's cancer. But God is just bringing healing towards you. I see you even struggle to walk because of that. It's swollen up a bit. God's healing you right now in Jesus' mighty name. There's also a lady that experiences a lot of pain, and there's a man as well. Pain in the ear, infection in the ear coming down into the neck. You feel even pain to the back of your head. God is healing you right now in Jesus' name by His grace. In the name of Jesus, by the grace of God, be all people that listen to me right now healed and delivered and stay blessed. Amen. Stay in the grace of God.